Good morning. On this first Sunday in the season of COVID, we will be doing things a little bit differently this morning. In order to cut down on movement, we won't be processing in. We ask you to remain seated for the hymns and either sing them softly or hum. And when it comes to the peace, it's a kind of, we're asking you to remain seated and make contact by nodding or waving or some other means with people. You've got to be a bit creative this morning and be ready for anything to happen. What we're going to do now is I'll have a call to worship, and then there'll be a period of silence, and then we will have the first hymn, which I will announce. As we gather this morning, let us take a few moments of silence to prepare ourselves for worship. Be aware of this place, its beauty and its atmosphere, as well as its history. Let us remember those who have worshipped here before. And let us prepare ourselves in stillness and in silence. The first hymn in this familiar place. Te whanau ai te karaite, nā mihi aroha ki a tātou katoa. Kia ora tātou. Welcome. Welcome if you come each week. Welcome if you haven't been for a while. Welcome if you're a visitor. And you're welcome to share morning tea in the hall after the service. And when you go through, please go and sit down and you will be served. Don't go to the servery, go and sit at the tables that are there. We are a scattered congregation. We're not in places where we see many of each other during the week. And so the gathering is quite important, and the gathering words will express some of that. We come to reweave the unraveling fabric of community, to reconnect once more with the larger family, to find once more that place of calm, to remind ourselves that we belong and to remember what it is we belong to. So come into this place, which we make special by our presence, where the ordinary is sanctified, the human is celebrated, the compassionate is expected. Together we make this a holy place by our every act of worship. And the prayer has the theme of gathering and is based on a prayer from the Iona community. Let us pray. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and the aching, who long for the nourishment of the community of loving care. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, puzzled and pondering, who long for the company of the community of loving care. Gather us in, the proud and the pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling of the community of loving care. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrer, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found in the community of loving care. Gather us in from corner or limelight, from housing or hostel, from fears and obsessions, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet and to greet, to be given a seat in the community of loving care. And so for our community gathered here, for the Spirit that called us together and drew us to this place, we give thanks. For the moments we have shared with others, for times we have reached out across barriers of distance and fear, for times when others have reached out to us, we give thanks. For our weaving together out of many separate souls, this time of celebration and reflection, this community of faith and hope, this community of loving care, we give thanks this day. Amen.
Into Rel. E tō mātou matua I te rangi, kia tapu tō ingoa, kia taimai tō rangatiratanga, kia mētia tau e pai ai ki runga ki te whenua, kia rite anō ki tō te rangi. O mai kia mātou ai nei, he taramo mātou mō tēnei rā. Mūrua o mātou hara. Me mātou hoki e mūru nei, I o te hunga e hara ana ki a mātou. Aua hoki mātou e kawea. Engari ki whakawaia. Engari whakarorangi a mātou I te kino. Nō hoki te rangatiratanga, te kaha me te kororia. Ake, ake, ake. Amine.
Is there anyone under 30 here? I think the children are elsewhere. But we light the rainbow candle because we're an inclusive community. It's a place where everyone's welcome, no matter what. And there's a special place in it for children when they're here. And we remember them because they're not here and wish them well in whatever they're doing. so we don't need the next bit of the service. So we'll go straight to passing the peace. And the whole purpose of passing the peace that we're a little bit frustrated with is a very symbolic way of connecting with people that we haven't seen for a week or more or less. So the peace of Christ be with us all. Last week, the gospel lesson was the stilling of the storm. Talked a little bit about the storms that rise when we move from one place to another, when we have to get through some area. The disciples were moving from Galilee across the lake into Gentile country. And whenever that happens, there are misunderstandings, there are fears. And in this story, the storm symbolizes that. The other symbol that I mentioned in terms of the story is Jesus asleep in the boat. And it seems to me that one of the things it can symbolize is the dormant resources that we have within ourselves that needed to be prodded to wake up and do something. But I did get to wonder about how others deal with these kinds of changes. Because they're not new. Anytime something changes, there is an unease, maybe a little bit of breeze, sometimes a mighty storm. And I was thinking about the psalmist and Psalm 121, because it deals with the unexpected or the unknown that we encounter. The psalmist who wrote this psalm, and incidentally, it's what I'm going to say points up how good it is to have newer translations. Those of you who have Presbyterian roots will know the Psalter version, the psalm that's sung, and it can read, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh mine aid." But in fact, that's not a good translation because there's two sentences there. "I lift up my eyes to the hills." He stood on the walls of the city in Jerusalem, and he looked out at the hills, and the hills represented all the uncertainties and the dangers of life. To go through those hills was to face the possibility of robbers, wild animals, and other treacherous things. So he says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills," and thinks about all these uncertainties. And then he asks the question, "Where does my help come from?" And his answer is, "It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." So we're going to be good Presbyterians this morning, and we're going to sing a psalm, Psalm 121. It's up there. I think you know it well enough to sing it. Thanks, Bruce. So here's this man living with the uncertainties of life in Jerusalem, expressing a faith and a trust in the God he has come to experience and know and understand. And of course, one of the other great threats that they faced was that Jerusalem or Israel or Palestine or whatever you want to call it is at a pivotal point between Africa and Asia and Europe. And in these early biblical times, when some of the great nations wanted to fight each other, they had to actually go through Israel to get at each other, and so they got trampled on in all sorts of ways, which also raises questions for me about a nation that has had this long experience in its history can do what it's doing to the Palestinians. How do we cope with the uncertainties, and especially this week where the two storms appeared, one weather and one possible COVID, and it's put us into the uncertainties that we're facing at the moment. How do we cope with these, and how do we cope with change? Because change is inevitable. A number of years ago, I used to conduct seminars on change in departments and businesses that were restructuring. And I used to take, initially, people through an exercise that I'm going to take you through, but I won't get you to write all the stuff down. But I got people to write down all the changes that they had experienced in their lives, no matter how big or small, beginning with the one that most of us can't remember, and that is birth. And it's a major change. And then from then, how about going to kindergarten or school, shifting house, however many times, the loss of pets, the death of people we know, grandparents and sometimes parents, the experience of changing schools, of friends moving away. And see, we're still in childhood. As we get older, going to high school, all the changes that came with puberty and the teenagers, the change to work or further study. Can you see what I'm saying? That all, if you start to list all these changes, some people were absolutely stunned when they added up the list and they had 100. So change is not something new for us. It's something that we experience all the time. Then I got them to sit quietly and think about how they coped with those changes, what they did, what others did, and to write them down. Then we all came together and people shared, and we wrote up on big sheets of paper, you know, the big sheets in newsprint that we use. We wrote up all these ways of coping with change. And the surprising thing was that the not so surprising thing at the end was people realized that they actually had resources and a resilience that they had forgotten about. It was their Jesus asleep in the back of the boat who had to be prodded. But they not only had a list of resources that they had used and experienced, but now in the group had a list of resources that had to do with the way that people supported each other, things they had read, things they did, the exercises and all the other things that helped them in these times of great change. So the individuals, we as individuals, have resources that sometimes we forget about, but as a community, we also have all these resources within the community. And that's something that's pretty special. Heather's going to read from a letter in the New Testament.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. One body with many parts. Just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the Spirit is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, but our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
The importance of a community of care. In Corinth, people were beginning to argue about who was the most important and who had the best gifts and resources, who was better than others. And Paul writes to them, and we've just heard what he's written, reminding them that they were part of a bigger body, the body of Christ, and that that body, like our bodies, needed more than just an eye or a tongue or an ear. That every part of our body functions to keep us well. And when one part of our body isn't well, our body knows about it. And so it is in a community, that each of us has special gifts and special understandings and ways of doing things. Not every one of us is the same, thank God. We're all unique beings, but together we have much to offer. After setting this out, Paul goes on to write, or someone wrote and placed it in Corinthians chapter 13, the great hymn of love. And it talks about the various things that people were doing and they thought was so special it was better than everybody else. And he was saying, no, each of us is given unique and special gifts that we use for the good of them all. But every one of us is given the same gift, another gift that is common and that holds everything else together, and that is the gift of love. How we love and care for one another is really important. And so in these days of uncertainty, we need to be a little bit creative about how we care for one another. The words of affirmation, telephone call, where it's possible, an invitation for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a meal. Checking on one another, just how we're doing and how we're managing. These are all part of what helps us through these changing times. Back in the 1970s, a hymn appeared, and we've sung it here a few times. We're not going to sing it this morning, but we're going to read it together. And it's, I think, one of the best hymns that we have about Christian community, written by a woman who lived in Gisborne, in Mangapapa, and it's called Now Be Aware, and Heather's going to lead us as we read this together.
Now be aware and glory in this fellowship with others that learns to give and take with grace. Where there is life, it gathers. It deepens joy. It eases strain. It heartens those who live with pain. Each strengthens each together. The wordless touch where sorrow is. The sharing of a victory. Flash of mind where insight leaps to truth, provoked by query. The freedom of our fellowship accepts us as we are, and this is God's own gift of liberty. Now be aware that hearts and hands and minds are rich when shared, for here within this fellowship the strength of God is growing. Now life has reason. Love has powers beyond our own. For in our lives, the love of God is flowing. For the word in scripture, story and reflection. For the word among us, for the word within us. We give thanks.
Our gifts, food to share with those who need it, money to help us be the community that we are, and we bring ourselves, who we are, the things we are able to do, and we offer them to the community and to the world. Amen. It's time for notices time. You haven't got an order service. Part of the COVID thing is we have less paper. But the notices are online. But if you're not online, then there's a couple of spare orders of service here that you can have. But are there any other notices that people want to give?
Yes, good morning. Just a reminder that after our tea and coffee today, Steve Turnock, who's the director of the DCM, will be speaking at the Social Justice Education Group. If this is what we want to do, I'm aware we're in level two and there's concerns around that, so I'm easy as to whether or not we postpone it at the last minute. Thank you.
Morena, Tony Kirby. Just, you don't have the notice in front of you, but it is online and says that we're still going on with spirited conversation Tuesday week. We'll give probably have a position to give a final decision on that by next Sunday. Kia ora.
Morena, Rosemary Lawrence, member of this community. This is a reminder to look online for the e-newsletter because it does contain notices, but I want a heads up for one I put in, which is, I won't read it all, main facts are, some of you will remember on 28th of February this year, I led what I called an extra musical Sunday, and it centred around hymns chosen by members of the congregation. Some chose a favourite hymn tune, other hymn words, and the result for many was a meaningful community-building experience. And so, a similar service is being planned for July 25. So this is an invitation for those who maybe missed out on speaking last time because we couldn't take all of your requests to let me know whether on July the 25th, Sunday, you'd be prepared to speak for a few moments about a meaningful hymn or suggest a tune that we might weave into the service. It's no use telling you what the contacts for my contacts are, but the office would be able to tell you my cell phone number. I would be able to tell you this morning during morning tea. Please don't be shy. First in, first served.
Morena, I'm Paul Barber, member here at St Andrews. It doesn't seem to be in the e-news, so I just thought I would remind you that on Tuesday, COVID permitting, at 12:30, the Modern Slavery Petition Act petition will be presented by Trade Aid and World Vision. I had included notices about this in the last couple of weeks. Over 33,000 people have signed a petition asking Parliament to pass a Modern Slavery Act that would require all companies and organisations trading in New Zealand to review their supply chains to see whether the 40 million people who are in slavery are involved in their supply chains and products they're selling. So if you would like to support the handover of this petition at Parliament this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. and in front of Parliament entrance, then come and join us there to bring the message home in person. And if you can't be there, make sure you've signed online. The information is hopefully we can circulate if necessary or get in touch with me. Thank you.
In our prayers for others, to my words, let there be stillness and calm. I invite you to respond, yes, this is our prayer. To my words, let there be stillness and calm. Response, yes, this is our prayer. Kia noi tātou, let us pray. We bless you, dear God, in these times of real uncertainty for ourselves, our country, and our planet. Yes, we bless you that we are not alone. We have you, our God of trust and of lasting companionship. And we bless you, dear God, that we are in this together. We have each other, a community of living and loving together. And so now we pray for those who need special support and companionship. Let there be stillness and calm. Yes, this is our prayer. We pray for those caught up in the local issues around COVID-19. We think of those whose plans for special celebration are dashed, for Wellington sports people whose events are cancelled, and for large family anniversary occasions now postponed. We pray especially for the people of Fiji, who are so much worse off than we are. And so we pray carefully for those infected and facing inevitable death, for those seething with irritation, planning to break health guidelines, for those alone, afraid, and without company. Dear God, for each of these people, we pray for coolness and for calm and for collectedness. Most of all, we ask to equip us with gentle concern and readiness to companion others. And for those on their last life journey, we pray for peacefulness and holy rest. Let there be stillness and calm. Yes, this is our prayer. Today we pray for those people whose lives have been devastated by torrents and tornadoes, for farmers whose crops have been destroyed by gravel, for solo parents and their kids, for people recuperating from illness and injury. We pray, dear God, that they each may be blessed by resilience, by friendship, and yes, by money. Let there be stillness and calm. Yes, this is our prayer. And now in silence, we pray, make special prayer for people known to us, for people identified in our St. Andrew's prayer book. Let there be stillness and calm. Yes, this is our prayer. In our circle of prayer today, we pray for the people of Guyana and Suriname, and the Hindu people in Guyana, Suriname, and throughout the world. We hold all refugees in our hearts. We pray in particular for those detained for many years in Papua New Guinea and Nauru. We give thanks for progress that's been made and pray that their calls for justice will yet find a compassionate response. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name the Honourable Andrew Little and Jan Logie, List MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Tamatea Community Church in Napier. Dear God, may our prayers of today be followed by our practical action tomorrow. And now we pray the prayer for St. Andrew's. If you are visiting, we invite you to make this prayer your own, focused on your own faith community. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow the way of Jesus, and new bonds of love with people of other faiths. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
May the love that gives to life its beauty, the reverence that gives to life its sacredness, and the purposes that give to life its deep significance be strong with each of us and lead us into deepening relationships with all of life. Go now in peace and in joy to love and to serve. The grace of the risen Christ, the love of God, presence and creativity of the Spirit be with you and those you love, now and always. You might like to sit quietly. We finished a little bit early. Sit quietly and listen to the postlude that Bruce is going to play, and then make your way through for morning tea. Participated this morning, and special thanks to Bruce sitting up there in glory at the organ console for his music. Come and have some morning tea.